I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms, the 27th chapter. And yes, it's another one of God's anti-fear chapters. The greatest attack, ladies and gentlemen, that we're under is a fear attack. And we've declared war in this church against that. Psalms 27 said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." Underline that in your Bible. Psalms 27, verse 3. "My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident." The Lord God quickened that to me this morning in prayer, that the word confident means full assurance that the end result will be good, right, and best. Full assurance that the end result will be good and right and best. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Say it with me. Up upon a rock. "And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy." That's why we determine that the tragedy is not going to steal our praise. We're going to continue to praise the Lord. It's not irreverent to praise the Lord in the midst of tragedy. The Bible's filled with that type of thing. So it's exciting. "Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me, even though I'm circled on all sides. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." There's the spirit of a prayer right there. When God said it's time to pray, the prayer said, "Lord, I'll do it. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Oh, that has been such a... In a complicated world, Lord, lead me in a plain path. Let me see your path. "Because of mine enemies, and deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty." Sort of sounds like what we're going through as a nation. But then he goes on to say, "I had fainted, would have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You can't say it any plainer and any more powerfully than David says, "I would have fainted unless I had something to believe in, someone to believe in. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Yes, this is another anti-fear chapter out of God's wonderful word. Let me ask you today, what are you afraid of? And what do you dread? The Amplified said that the Lord is the strength of my life. I don't have to fear and I don't have to dread. Dread is one of the byproducts of fear. Sets it up. So, what are you afraid of? What do you dread? You know, if we let fear rule our life, we'll be afraid to open mail. We'll be afraid to fly. We'll be afraid to take mission trips. We'll be afraid to come together in public gatherings. It's just, once you start fear, it's a Pandora's box. There's no way to cut it short. The word fear means to live in fear daily. It's a way of life. Then also there's a meaning and an understanding to be made afraid. What makes you afraid? I was having such a good day till something made me afraid. Or to dread. What you dread, you fear. And America's under a fear attack. Yes, we're at war with terrorism. But Satan's chief weapon always has been, as it is today, fear. Satan's chief weapon is fear. Even going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell because of fear that one or more promises of God would not come to pass. That's where it all started, with fear. And of course, it started with Lucifer up in heavens. He chose to let something get off track. The timing of that, I'd like to know the mechanics of that one of these days, but I know that he fell, and I know he took a third of the angels with him. And then one day he approached Adam and Eve in the garden, Eve initially, but then Adam bought into it also, and it was based on fear that one or more promises of God would not come to pass. That's why I've made up my mind, no fear here. You buy into one, there's five more. You buy into three, there's six more. You start, there's no stopping place. The fall came through fear. Disobedience, yes, but the fall came through fear. Adam and Eve had a paradise, but they lost the ability to put no fear here on the garden. Just out of curiosity, and I didn't have a computer handy, but just going through my concordance early this morning, I just became curious. The word afraid, if I counted correctly, is some 193 times in the Old and the New Testament. 193 times. Now, if I missed it by one or two or five or six, please have mercy on me. Fear, in one of its settings, fear, fears, feared, fearless, fearfulness, fearing, is found 525 times, if I'm also correct on that count, making a sum total of 718 times that afraid or some form of fear is mentioned throughout the Old and the New Testament. It seems that God's trying to communicate something to us, to warn us of something that absolutely will steal God's blessings in our life. You can be born again and be miserable on the journey. There's a lot of people in the ministry, they're not happy. And they try to put that gloom and doom trip on everyone else. I don't agree with everything that's going on in the world, but I'll tell you, our best days are yet to come. And God has not fallen off his throne since the tragedy in New York. So there's the fact of fear, what causes you to be afraid, or just, you know, what about this fear that comes to your life? It's interesting, the Psalms 19 and 9 said, the fear of the Lord is clean. No problem there. The reverential respect of the Lord, it's clean. It's good to have a respect of God. We need more of that in our land, in our nation, in our world today. We need that, just whatever you want to call it. There's people that aren't even born again that have some kind of a decency about them that amazes me sometimes. I see sometimes believers that under the banner of grace, anything goes. And I believe in grace. If it wasn't for grace, there's not one of us in this room that would make it, myself included. We all need amazing grace. But at the same time, we also need that reverential respect of our wonderful God. Now, let's go to the heart of the matter. And I want to share some things with you, and you can get them right from Psalms 27. And I want to go through some things that this anti-fear chapter tells us that we do not have to be afraid of. In verse 1, we don't have to be afraid of the fear of man. Whom shall I fear? What would you do if you were not afraid of man or woman? or human beings. Why don't you go ask him for that? Well, I'm afraid. Why don't you go present that? Well, I'm afraid. It has woven itself into the fabric of our lives almost everything. Well, I'm afraid it's going to rain. Oh, I'm afraid it's not going to rain. Oh, I'm afraid it's going to rain too much. Oh, it's just fear, fear, fear. Everywhere you go, it's fear. I made up my mind, I'm not going to buy into that. Because people that are standing on God's word against fear are much easier to pastor. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man. With the prophet, it was the fear of Jezebel that brought a snare. This fearless prophet of God runs because of the fear of a human being. The fear of man. You don't have to be afraid. Whom shall I fear? I noticed in Proverbs, I believe it's 133, it teaches us how to be quiet from fear of evil. How to be quiet. How to back off. Rise above it. I'm telling you, if you'll just, you that have the ability to check all this out, you'll just have a wonderful time going through the Word of God, discovering how free you really can be if you'll stand on the promises of God. How good life can be if you'll just let Jesus be the Savior and the Lord of your life. Number one, we don't have to receive the fear of man. Verse 2 tells us we do not have to receive the fear of the wicked. Now that's exactly where we live in the world today. It's amazing how many people are afraid of people that are hiding in a cave because they're murderers and criminals. The fear of the wicked. Well, we don't know what they're up to. Folks, let's get some things cleared out this morning. It's not what they're up to. It's what the Christians are up to. And when we bow our knees before God and talk to God, we don't have enough bombs and guns and bullets and soldiers to fight our battle anyway. They've got more camels than we have bullets. I mean, they can live without taking a bath for a year and it doesn't bother them at all. Drive me nuts. I mean, I'm not being ugly or tacky, but I've spent a little bit of time over there and I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we cannot live in fear of the wicked. The wicked in Fort Worth, Texas, the wicked in Dallas, the wicked in New York. There's wickedness everywhere. Anywhere you go, there is wickedness. And until the Prince of Peace comes back, until Jesus returns, you'll never rid the world of wickedness. But the Bible said we don't have to live in fear of the wicked. When the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. What tripped them? God did it. The Word did it. The Spirit of God was watching out for us. When the wicked were coming at me with everything within them to literally destroy me, they stumbled and they fell. Oh, my God is able to make the enemy to stumble and fall. The fear of the wicked, when the wicked, even my enemies, came against me, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3, you don't have to be afraid of the fear of being in the minority or being outnumbered. I was in that part of the world. And I'm telling you, there was a crisis going on. The big thing that hit Beirut 3 weeks after we were there. And you feel mighty unnecessary when you look in the mirror and realize you're the only guy that's got your color face in the majority of that. I understand how it feels. And I've reached out to some others in this nation and let them know that I believe their hearts are right. Let them know I appreciate them. And I know how it feels to be in another nation and to be in another culture and for things to be very dangerous. But you see, the fear of being in the minority, you know, the beautiful thing about it is the Bible is written about somebody who was in the minority, but with God, they became the majority. The prophet of God looked out and he said, two of us and how many? And the prophet of God had to say, open the young man's eyes. And I want to shout that from the housetop. Lord, open our eyes. Let us see the chariots. Let us see the horses. Let us see the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, the God who knows how to do warfare. Germ warfare doesn't bother him at all. He's not susceptible to that. Fear of being in the minority. You see, David had been there. He'd been in another nation. David went through just about everything you can go through. That's why he could write the Psalms. The problem about a testimony is you have to go through the test to witness the testimony. And in the meantime, it's a mean time. In the meantime, you're going through some stuff. In the meantime, going further, we find in verse 3, you don't have to be afraid of the fear of war. Someone called into a talk show the other day and they said, I'm afraid this is going to start a war. And the spokesperson said, honey, we are at war. War was declared when those fuel-laden jetliners slammed into those skyscrapers. We are at war. Oh, are we? Well, we're safe here. No, you're not safe anywhere except in Jesus. You'd be safer at ground zero than you are right here if your trust and your faith is not in God. War has been declared on the United States of America. And America's at war today, whether you understand it or not, or whether we like it or not. That's happened. But the Bible said it. Are you ready to read it with me? Though war should rise against me. Ladies and gentlemen, war. America is at war. War was declared on us. Though war arise against me, in this I will be confident. In the midst of tragedy, there's a confidence. In the midst of disaster, there is a confidence. And remember that the assurance that God gave me is that confidence is the full assurance that the end result will be good and right and best if our trust is in God. Fear of war. Where is it going? God knows where it's going. And I think a lot of what we're experiencing is a massive bluff. Satan's the author of bluff. You know, he is the original bully. Not a hero, but a bully. It takes a coward to hide behind women and children. It takes a coward to, hey, this is not a U.S. thing. Look at the percentages of those that were taken out. Those from the United Kingdom, those from Canada. People from all over the world were taken out. And I'm not trying to stir up your emotions, but then some people already say, I forget it. Forget what? Wake up. It's like the devil. You pet him here and he'll just move right in. Any area in your life you pet the devil, he'll be moving everything he has in on the next moving van. Fear of war. We don't have to be afraid. Pray. Believe God. Do what God bids us to do in our heart. I mean, I've said it before. Every church in America ought to be jammed to capacity during these days. Every church in America, the New Testament church, should be jammed to capacity. Fear of war. And then there's the fear of time of trouble. A time of trouble. Boy, we're living in a time of trouble. In the times of trouble, God shall hide me in His secret place. Verse 5. God will set me up on a rock high above what is happening below. Where was Moses? He was up on the mountain. When his arms grew weary, the battle went ill for the children of God. But they, Aaron and Hur, lifted his arms to the heavens. And when his arms were lifted, the battle went well. Yes, we're in a time of trouble, but you can't let that trouble get inside of you. Hear me, church. Hear me. You cannot let this trouble get inside of you. You can just watch so much television. Turn it off. You can just read the newspaper so long. Put it aside. Yes, I want to know basically what's happening, but it doesn't take you long to do that. Fear in times of trouble. Open your Bible. That's the best news. That's the ultimate news. In fact, in the back of the book, it says we win. To hear the news media, we'll never win. It's a no-win situation. But in times of trouble, oh Lord, I think of how many times of trouble when we were in impossible circumstances. A phone call, a knock on the door, a letter in the mail. Someone shows up. Help is on the way. In the time of trouble, are you so absorbed with, oh my God, what is happening in this world, that your faith has just gone out the window? Or do you have the switch of faith turned on? And you say in the time of trouble, God is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then in verse 10, the fear of negative family relationships. Oh, is this a loaded one? Now, if you're in this auditorium today and everybody in your family is acting right, praise God. If all of your relatives and all of your family and all of your in-laws, in everybody's family, you have one or more. And David dealt with that. The fear of negative family relationships. Bruised and broken relationships would trouble me if I would let it. There's ministers that you're very close with along the way, and crazy things happen and they veer off course and there's not a thing you can do about it. And nowadays there seems to be no radar that can stop preachers that veer off course. They just go on bigger and better. I don't like relationships that go sour. I don't like relationships that go negative. I have to accept it. It's a fact of life. I don't like family relationships that aren't what they should be. It's in my heart. I just like for things to be right. Why can't we get along? I don't think there's anything you can't settle with Jesus over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and just sit down and just, you know, come let us reason together. But if someone's without reason, or if someone is not truthful, or someone... A statement was made the other day when we were up in the mountains by a very dear friend of mine. He said, some people are easier to love from a distance. And I thought, wisdom. Because every time you move in close, you get bit. Or you get borrowed. I mean, it's just... you can't get close to them without something negative happening. It's like a little friend he used to have, William King. Every time I'd go to his house, something would go wrong. That little guy. And all my family wanted me to play with William. And as sure as I got to his house, he'd do something and blame it on me. I just said, Mama, I'm not going back to William's house anymore. I get in trouble every time I go over there. He got some matches out of the kitchen and struck every one of them behind the house, and they blamed it on me. I haven't thought of that in many, many years. If something went wrong at William's house, I got the blame for it. And I just thought, you know, I'm young, but I don't need this. I'm just a little boy, but I really don't need this. I can stay home and get in less trouble than this. Fear of negative family relationships. David knew what it was for relationships to go sour. Absalom and others. It hurts. Hurts like crazy. But you just got to take the grace of God and forgive them and go on down the road. Amen? When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Well, Joseph discovered this. Daniel discovered this. The Hebrew children discovered this. Even Jesus and the Apostle Paul discovered this, the fear of negative relationships. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, Paul said. But you win a few too when he said, get the message to John Mark. I need him. He's profitable. Let me move on to verse 12, the fear of false witnesses. Sometimes people come up and like a machine gun. They said, so-and-so says, and they said this, and they said that, and they said that. And I just wait till they get through, and I said, well, is it true? Sometimes there's a long silence. Is any of it true? Well, part of it's true. Fear of false witnesses. Is it true? Well, if it's not true, don't worry about it. Forgive them and trust God and go on. Be like Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Be as Stephen, who said, forgive them. They know not what they do. You can spend all your life worried about someone that's not saying something they should be saying. Someone came to my father-in-law, who had been in the ministry many years, and they said, so-and-so and so-and-so told a terrible lie on me. What would you do? And that's where I remembered the first time hearing say, well, is it true? And he said, just forgive them. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Pray for them and go on down the road. Don't touch it. Don't dirty your hands with somebody else's garbage. Don't walk across the street and get into somebody else's garbage. That's their garbage. Leave it alone. You know, it's true in the ministry, just like it is everywhere. You hear stuff all the time. You hear stuff all the time. Did you hear? And you know, the further I go, I really understand the wisdom of the Apostle Paul. He said, I've purposed to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's good, isn't it? Paul said, I've learned how to handle stuff. Just commit it to God. Well, there's the fear of failure. None of us like to fail. What would we do if there was no fear of failure? It's a good question. In fact, David said it like this in Psalms 27, verse 13. I would have fainted unless I had believed. What did you believe, David? To see the goodness of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there's a lot of good things that are coming out of this tragedy. I'm hearing a little bit now the last few days, but really you've heard virtually nothing about the separation of church and state. You've really heard virtually nothing except the echo of the infidels on the prayer issue. In fact, there's schools where the headmasters of the school are just declaring a day of prayer or an hour of prayer. And some of them are just saying, we're not paying any attention to you. How come Congress can say in God we trust and we can't? Let's just carry this thing right on through. Let's just be equal right across the board. I saw some little flags for sale out on Camp Bowie the other day, and I just stopped and bought me two of them. We've got two big old they're pretty good size. Joyce said they're flapping coming to church this morning. I just thought, I just want to come to church saying, thank God for America. With all of our sins, thank God for America. And with all of our craziness, we still probably are one of the greatest senders of missionaries all over the world. And if 10 people could have spared Sodom and Gomorrah, my friend, there are millions of believers, some who aren't what they should be, but there are millions of believers who trust God with all their heart and they love God and they're praying. And people are praying across this nation as never before. It's not all bad. The reports are not all bad. Fear of failure, I would have fainted. That one verse, I have a few select verses. I have many select verses, but that one verse, I'll tell you there's times I've held on to the ropes with that verse. I would have fainted. I'm not going to faint. Lord, you'll not let me faint. I believe. I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalms 27 and then Acts 27, you know, when Paul said, I've heard from God and I believe the word that I've heard and it shall come to pass. Folks, we've got to get that back in our spirit. Turn off all that bad news. Turn on the good news. Jesus is Lord. There is hope. The Word of God has not lost its power. Our mission and our message shines brighter than ever before. It's not an hour for doom and gloom. It's not an hour to just say, oh my God, what's going to happen? Come out of the cave and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Fear of failure. Some of you, you've gone through devastating divorce. You would have fainted unless you'd believe God to see the goodness of God in the land of living. Some of you have come through business failure. Some of you have come through very disappointing family situations. And you would have fainted unless you had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Sometimes I just say, I believe. I'm a believer. I believe God. I believe the Word of God. It's going to be all right. Well, I know someone that believed God and they died the other day. Well, if they knew Jesus, they're promoted. We win either way. I don't like to lose any more than anyone else, but let me tell you, you don't lose when you die in Jesus. You couldn't get them back if you wanted to. I mean, 1 second across the divide and they're gone. I've dealt with that so many times and with people that are still on this earth, but I mean, they got a glimpse of the other side. People who have a glimpse of the other side are very hard to get back because it's wonderful. God is good and eternity is wonderful. Well, fear of failure. I would have fainted. Unless I had believed. I believe, and I'm not about to faint. First report's not the last report. And when your faith is in God, the last report's not the last report. How many times do I have women come or men come and say, the doctor said this and this and this and this, but we're going to take one more set of examinations and x-rays. And we pray. And you say, well, do you have an explanation? I just know I serve a miracle-working God. Praise God. And they come back and the doctors, more and more doctors are saying, it's one of those things you call a miracle. we don't understand it in medical science, so it's a phenomenon. Well, you can call it what you want to, but when I get a good report, it's a good report. And I want you to know God's able to bring a good report out of a bad report. Our God's a good God. Well, there's one more here quickly, and that's the fear of, I labeled it like this, the fear of sickness, heart trouble, or deadly diseases, deadly sickness and diseases. You find that in the 14th chapter. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. You see, where all this negative stuff comes from is your heart. If Satan can pollute your heart, compromise your heart. What you compromise to keep, you'll ultimately lose. It's in your heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Every feeling in your body may be screaming, no! But God in your spirit says, yes! And you've got to go with God. You've got to go with God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. You know, God loved their heart, the news media. They've got their ratings up, and so they're trying, you know. Now it's the plague this, and it's the plague that. And I'm not making light of anything. I mean, all this stuff is hellish, but now we understand it's not as bad as we thought it was, and there's not as many people were affected with it as we thought there were. And it just seemed like the news media, well, okay, so that's true, but we've got another something. In fact, I was listening to a news broadcast 3 or 4 years ago, and they came on and said, stay tuned in. There's something else that you need to be afraid of. No. What? And when the camera zoomed back in, there was a kind of a ragweed kind of a thing blowing in the wind. You know, you could see it just kind of flaking apart. And they said, see this? This is the next thing that you need to fear. And it causes nausea and congestion. And sneezing, and so help me, the news person said, I was feeling perfectly good when I came into the studio, but achoo! And they began to sneeze, and they began to cough. And they could hardly finish the little, he said, got a glass of water. You see, what he was looking at, preaching fear, put it on him. Now, if you want to look at something and preach and teach and testify fair, have at it. But I'm going to look to the Word, the name, and the blood of Jesus. Wait upon the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. I don't care what your age is, or I believe in being as healthy as things can be. But all things being equal, occasionally you don't understand it. A healthy person dies and a junk food person lives. I mean, there's some strange, I've come to a point in my life I can't take the diet that I could take when I was younger, and I've changed my ways. But I mean, it's strange. There's some people that have been letter perfect. And you say, well, are you saying, no, I didn't say don't do that. But what I'm saying is, your faith had better be in God. Whether it's whole grain or Whataburger. I mean, your faith had better be in God. Whether it's French fries or faith. Or trash or trust. Your faith needs to be in God. And what I'm saying is, you can just have a perfect diet and have a lousy faith and leave the door open for some things. And I don't have all the answers, but I have more answers than I used to. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm shouting it from the housetops. I thank God that I walk today and every day in the health of the Lord Jesus Christ provided through the finished work of Calvary. Thank God for the name, the word, and the blood of Jesus. Thank God for a healthy heart. Thank God for that blood that can be distributed throughout my body. Thank God I have a sound mind. I heard a believer that he said, well, you know, the first thing to go is your mind. I forgot. You better get off that stuff. Get up in the morning and say, I have the mind of Christ and I have the wisdom of God. And I walk today in the health of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how young or how old you are. It's how young your faith is. The thing I feared has come upon me. Now, Job had a lot of bum raps put on him, but that's one that he opened the door for. The thing that I feared, he said, has come upon me. But Psalms 23 said, I will fear no evil. Good way to live. Fear hath torment, but my heart shall not fear. Psalms 27:3. 2 Timothy 1:7, fear is a spirit, and it's not the spirit of God. God has not given you, me, us, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm telling you, if today's my last day on earth, I'm going out with a positive shout. You understand what I'm saying? Man, I'm not leaving with doom and gloom. I'm leaving with a shout. My God's a good God. We started with nothing, we're ahead. Turn again, they said, don't you think this is terrible that you've lost everything? I said, well, not exactly. Because when you start with nothing, everything that happens, you're ahead. We're ahead. We have a home. Thank God for a home. Thank God for a new home. I remember an Oral Roberts early tent days, he used to sing a little chorus when it was over on Farrington Field parking lot. I drive by there quite often and remember the night that I was under that tent when, as a teenager, God said, you will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that voice was accurate. And I remember they would sing that over and over again. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Young people, let's believe God for the best. Dads and moms, let's believe God for the best. Let's believe God for His promises. Billy Graham said it again. He said, America must have a spiritual revival. Well, I've been preaching that hot and heavy for years. We must have a spiritual revival.